Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So for those who don't know me, I'm Graham Biss. I'm one of the leaders of the apprentice service at St. Mary's. And today I'm going to be focusing on the passage from Ephesians, which Heather read to us, where Paul talks of the implications of being a Christian and how we need to live differently. This is hard and maybe uncomfortable teaching for some of us. So please bear with me as we explore what God has in his word for us today, and also the amazing help that God can give us. Recently, I watched a powerful film called The Shawshank Redemption. It's the story of a brutal prison in the US in the 50s and 60s, where a new inmate, wrongly accused of murder, copes with attacks by other inmates and the corrupt and violent prison guards. Prisons are tough places, and the film portrays the difficulty facing new inmates and those readjusting to life on the outside after years in prison. Yet from a place such as this in prison, our amazing God gave Paul time to pray and inspired him to write letters of great depth to explain what happened when Jesus was nailed to the cross. He wrote four letters while in prison, including Colossians, Philippians, and Philemon. And this letter, believed to be a circular letter to a number of churches, including Ephesus, is said to be the fullest exposition of the blessings God has provided us in Christ. Wow. So we're going to look together at the four points Paul makes in the passage that was read to us. And if you would like to follow this, you can obviously turn to the passage Ephesians 5, 15 to 20, which is page 1111 in the Pew Bible. But don't worry if you can't find a copy, because I'll read the verses out. So what's the first point that Paul makes? In verse 15, he says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." Our time is the most precious thing that we have to give to others and to God. I don't know about you, but I feel pulled apart sometimes, spreading myself thinly across all the priorities in my life. Life can become a treadmill of activity which we can drown in. I remember a colleague a few years ago at work coming back after a long holiday, and he turned on his computer and he deleted hundreds of emails. And he casually stood up and walked to the coffee machine and said, "I don't need to look at that lot. If there's anything urgent, people will come and find me." I was stunned. I was kind of amazed. But I kind of watched him during the morning. And he kind of basically had his coffee and he wandered around chatting to people, telling people about his holiday and picking up what he'd missed while he'd been away. So this guy prioritized relationships and interaction with people over time in front of the computer. And that was a great lesson to me. It is important to prioritize things in life, and the relationships with those you love need lots of time. That includes our relationship with God and making time in our life to make the most of the opportunities that God gives us to serve him and to do good. Otherwise, our life can become selfish and materialistic. Paul describes these as days of evil. Now, as many of us know, fitting service to God into our lives is a big challenge. Yvonne and I hosted a home group when our children were very young, and getting them fed, getting them bathed, getting the stories read before the group started was a real challenge. But looking back, God gave us the strength and the teamwork to do this. And our home group was a time of great blessing and growth in our Christian lives. So if we are to live wisely and manage our time well, on this Sunday, God's special day, let us prayerfully look at how we spend our time. And here are a few challenging things to think about and pray about. Do you need to give more time for your spouse or your partner, your children or a parent? Do you have a hobby that is taking over your life? Is there something that we do in secret that is damaging us? Do we spend time with people who are a bad influence on us? These things are really challenging, but I'd really encourage you to kind of think about some of these things. So that's the first point that Paul makes. The second, in verse 17, Paul says, "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." Another translation says, "Don't live carelessly." When I was researching this sermon, I went on the internet and I found this quote from a guy called Ray Steadman, a great Bible teacher from California who died a few years ago. And he defined Christian living as this: gracious, loved-filled people in the midst of demanding circumstances, manifesting the grace of God towards others, the love of Christ, the compassion, sweetness, and self-control of the Spirit-filled life. Like me, you probably feel you fall pretty short on this, but this is God's standard for us. One of my favorite passages is Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. And in verse 2 it says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Since I've become a Christian, I feel God has helped me to see situations through his eyes in some cases. I have more self-control now. It's not perfect, but I feel he's helped me in that area. And he also tells me when I've got things wrong, so I can sort of go back and try and say sorry and fix things up. So God, I found, has helped me achieve and try and work towards his high standards. So how do we know what God's will is for our lives? Here's a few things that can help us. By listening to him through our prayer and reading the Bible. By understanding the gifts that we have and how we might be able to use them in God's service. We might have a passion for some injustice in the world that is maybe what God wants us to use. And at times of change in our lives, we need to ask God for guidance to help us go down the right road. So there are times when God's will is for a change of direction in our life, maybe a calling, and there are times when it is us that needs to change. As Chris mentioned, God has called me into licensed lay ministry, and I begin my training in September. And it was during a difficult time at work in late 2012, over a number of weeks, where God spoke to me through some passages in the Bible, including Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. And I sensed then that God was trying to call me to grow my ministry in some way. So there's an example of how God, I think, has guided me and has shown his will for me through prayer and reading the Bible. So that's the second point that Paul makes. And here's the third point in verse 18. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. So, I am not much of a drinker. I enjoy the occasional pint or glass of wine at the end of a heavy week. But I often get tired and can be prone to fall asleep at dinner parties. Yvonne will testify to that. Also, even if I've drunk a small amount, I can suffer from headaches in the morning. Maybe it's kind of old age, but that's what happens. So even at the peak of my powers in my student days, I could only manage 3 pints before needing a kebab. And that would sustain me for the walk home back to my student accommodation. But Saturday morning was a write-off. I wonder what happened to all those Saturday mornings. I'm sure life would have been richer for them. Alcohol can give us temporary stimulation and boldness. It can give us short-term relief from difficulties in our lives. In excess, we lose control and get into trouble and get ill. For some, alcohol is a powerful addiction that grips our lives. We need to be careful when we drink. It's good to see my 2 daughters here this morning. They were out partying last night, but they're here today, which is fantastic, to come and support me. So in contrast, Paul tells us to be filled with the Spirit. I particularly like the Message version that says this: drink the Spirit of God, huge draughts of him. The Holy Spirit gives us a lasting joy, higher and longer lasting, to cure monotony, depression, and release tension in our lives. That is the amazing truth about the Holy Spirit. We can never get enough of him, and God's provision is never ending. Yvonne and I recently went to New Wine, a Christian festival in Somerset, with some other folks from St. Mary's, Liz and Chris and Debbie and a number of others, Piers and Katie. We heard so many amazing testimonies from people who had been transformed by the abundant power of the Holy Spirit. There was a guy called Wayne who'd grown up in an abusive home. He turned to a life of crime at a young age. And he'd given his life to Jesus, and now he was leading a church, helped to lead a church. I was sitting next to, in one seminar, a guy called Craig, who used to be a cocaine dealer. And he was now evangelizing to fellow lorry drivers on Facebook. There was a lady that stood up in one of the seminars. She was a former Page 3 model, whose life had degenerated into drugs addiction, and she had given her life to Jesus and was now using her story to minister to both men and women addicted to drugs and pornography. As it says in a new song we learned at New Wine, no one is beyond your power. You changed our story and made us family. Every day, the speakers and service leaders at New Wine asked for the Holy Spirit to come and ask for more of you, and you came in waves, touching us all. At Soul Survivor, the youth event in Stafford running the same week, a girl who had been confined to a wheelchair for 5 years was healed through the power of the Holy Spirit and walked onto the main stage to tell her story. Ask some of the young people who went to Soul Survivor to tell you about that amazing young girl. So it's God's Spirit that gives us the power to transform our lives, to help us with our addictions, to help us live wisely and to know his will. Ask to be filled and drink him in, huge draughts of him. So the final point that Paul makes in verse 19 and 20, he says this: speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I've never really tried singing to other Christians. I think that might be a little bit weird. I'm not quite sure whether I'd be very good at it. But I have said the grace to my brothers and sisters. St. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, the letter he wrote as a free man on his missionary journeys, chapter 13, verse 14, he said, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Sometimes we say this in church, what does it mean? Well, here's an attempt by me to kind of maybe put it in some different words. To wish God's special favour, loving kindness and delight on all of us, even though we don't deserve it and cannot earn it. And we get that through the amazing sacrifice that Jesus made. And also to wish everyone the intimate friendship and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit on us all. So I get another chance to say to you, my brothers and sisters, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Paul was a man who often praised God. In Acts 16, when in prison with Silas, prison again with Silas in Philippi, they were singing songs of praise to God. And there was a great earthquake, and the prison walls collapsed, and they were set free. Their chains were broken. There is great power available from God in the most difficult circumstances. Praise Him at all times. So I'm going to finish now, and I don't know if the band would like to sort of come up. In a moment, we're going to sing a praise song to God, and a lovely song. And I want to encourage you, as we sing this song, to either sit or stand and open your hands to receive from God's unlimited resources. He has so much to give you and loves you so much. So you may not know about anything I've been talking about. You may be here for the first time. You may not know Jesus. And I would like you to ask Him to come into your life. Maybe you would want to have a chat with Chris or myself or one of the other leaders if you don't know Jesus and would like to know more. But ask Him to come into your life if you don't know Him. Ask Him to shine a light on how we live our lives. Ask Him to fill you with His Spirit, more of Him. And if any of you have been touched by the teaching today, and it is very challenging, it's very difficult, then I would encourage you to come and seek prayer from the prayer team who meet at the front of the church after the service. They would love to pray with you. And in my experience, the Holy Spirit can work more strongly through the specific prayers of others. So be bold and come and take advantage of that ministry. So let's just finish together in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word and the challenging teaching today. I pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you will help transform our lives to live for you. Maybe just in an initial way to start with. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Shall we remain seated for this one?